This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
واذكر في الكتاب مريم إذ انتبذت من أهلها مكانا شرقيا.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم واذكر في الكتاب موسى إنه كان مخلصا وكان رسولا نبيا وناديناه من جانب الطور الأيمن وقربناه نجيا صدق الله العظيم. So in the previous segment, we concluded verse 50, in which we somewhat wrapped up the discussion of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam and also the descendants of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, his son Ishaq and then his grandson Yaqub, and how Allah had blessed each one of them respectively with nubuwwah. A quick reflection from this discussion and this interaction of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam with his dad, as captured in Bayanul Quran, that when the father responded in an uncouth manner, in a hostile manner, and he threatened Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, "Wahjurni maliya," leave me and move away, "La arjumannak," I will stone you. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam replied in a very dignified way, "Sa'astaghfiru laka rabbi, sa'astaghfiru laka rabbi." Oh my dad, I will continue asking Allah to guide you. In that we learn, "Idfa' billati hiya ahsan." Respond in the best manner. Respond in the best manner. فَإِنَّ تَرْكَ الْإِسَاءَةِ لِلْمُسِيءِ إِحْسَانٌ. And this is an amazing deduction here. Not to harm the one that has harmed you is an act of kindness. So in other words, reward without action. Reward without action. Somebody said something nasty to you, just to be silent, it's reward for you. فَإِنَّ تَرْكَ الْإِسَاءَةِ لِلْمُسِيءِ إِحْسَانٌ. Not to retort in an evil manner for someone who is evil to you is an act of kindness. That's the beauty of Islam. And I also quote the hadith in Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, which the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam told Abu Dharr radiyallahu anhu, "Takuffu sharraka minan nas fa innaha sadaqatun minka ala nafsik." That one act of virtue is just restrain yourself from harming anyone. Just restrain yourself from harming anyone. This is also an act of reward. Under this, it is written in Fathul Bari that we learn from this, أن فعل الإنسان, that every action of a person is recorded to the extent أن الكف عن الشر, أن الكف عن الشر داخل في فعل الإنسان وكسبه حتى يؤجر عليه ويعاقب غير أن الثواب لا يحصل مع الكف إلا مع النية والقصد لا مع الغفلة والذهول. لا إله إلا الله. Amazing. That it's not only your action that is recorded, likewise refraining from doing something wrong is also captured. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, don't harm anyone, and this is charity on your part. However, the academic qualification and the context to that is, if I'm just sitting idle here, does it mean that I will be rewarded now because I'm not harming anyone? No, no. غير أن الثواب لا يحصل مع الكف إلا مع النية والقصد لا مع الغفلة والذهول. The action of abstaining from harming someone will only constitute an act of reward when you consciously embark on it. So you consciously don't sit or park in a driveway where people are parking because you know this will be, cause difficulty to people. Why do I want to park here? This is for paraplegic. This is for an emergency vehicle. This is somebody's driveway. People need to access a shop here or something. It's going to make it difficult. So now I'm going to park at a different parking bay, but I'm taking into cognizance that if I were to park in the first parking bay, there would have been so much more challenges for a passerby, for an elderly person, for a physically challenged person, etc. Now upon that action of mine, there will be reward for it. غير أن الثواب لا يحصل مع الكف إلا مع النية والقصد. So that's the opening comments of today's segment. And if I can say that it allows us the opportunity of reward without action. فَإِنَّ تَرْكَ الْإِسَاءَةِ لِلْمُسِيءِ إِحْسَانٌ. Not to be nasty towards someone who's nasty towards you is an act of virtue. he was uncouth and he was abrupt towards you, he was obnoxious, but you just were silent and you didn't say anything, that's an act of kindness. Okay, let's move into verse number 51. And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduces another prophet in this chapter of the Quran. Of course, chapter 19, as we are discussing Surah Maryam. وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ مُوسَىٰ إِنَّهُ كَانَ مُخْلَصًا وَكَانَ رَسُولًا نَبِيًّا. And mention, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning narrate, read along to them the tale, the story, the narrative of Musa alayhi salam in the Quran. إنه كان مخلصا, he was surely chosen and selected by Allah. وكان رسولا نبيا, and he was a Rasul and a Nabi. Without going into too much academics, right? What is the difference between a Rasul and a Nabi? Academic language, mantiq language, they will tell you عموم وخصوص من وجه. So basically, a Nabi is صاحب الوحي. A Nabi is one who receives revelation. While a Rasul is one who has a book, be the book a new book to him and to the nation, or it could be a book that is new to the Mursal ilayhim, to the nation. For example, Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam went to the tribe of Jurhum and he conveyed to them the teachings of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. So the teachings of Ibrahim alayhi salam were coming down from the years when he sallallahu alayhi wasallam would go to the cave of Hira and he would worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our respected honorable mother Khadija radiyallahu anha. And whenever I talk of Khadija radiyallahu anha, my eyes just become moist. And I just have this amazing veneration and reverence. And of course, for every spouse radiyallahu anha of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But Allah is my witness, Khadija radiallahu anha just is unique in the sense that she's the only woman from the Azwaj al-Mutahharat who enjoyed this exclusive 25 years in the wedlock of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And apart from the difficulties in the early years, she spent her last 3 years, she passed away at the age of 65. So the last 3 years of her life was in Shi'b Abi Talib, where the people had imposed the social boycott, the muqata'a, against the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his family. So the last 3 years of her life was spent in support, like her entire life. But generally, a woman would hope, aspire for ease towards the latter part of her life. But subhanallah, she was with our Habib sallallahu alayhi wasallam right through. And she barely exited from Shi'b Abi Talib and thereafter she passed away. And of course, after that, Abu Talib passed away and hence history refers to it as Ammul Huzn, the year of grief and sorrow. So our mother Khadija radiallahu anha would prepare food for Habib sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he would go to the cave of Hira and he would worship Allah. And that was on the practices and the teachings of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam that was transmitted. Of course, because till that point, he sallallahu alayhi wasallam had not received revelation. So the teachings of Ibrahim alayhi salam was conveyed to the Jurhum tribe, that was the tribe of Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam, the Mursal ilayhim, to whom he was sent. For them, these teachings were new, but it was not new in its sense. It was not the first revelation. While the Torah, when it came down, was the first revelation. In essence, a Rasul is one with a book, with a Sharia, and a Nabi is one who received revelation. وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ مُوسَىٰ, and narrate to them in the book, the tale, the story, the narrative, the episode of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. إِنَّهُ كَانَ مُخْلَصًا, he was chosen, he was selected by the Almighty. وَكَانَ رَسُولًا نَبِيًّا, he was a Rasul. And of course, linguistically, from a lughawi perspective, even an envoy of a prophet has been referred to as Rasul in the Quran. فَأَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْهِمُ اثْنَيْنِ فَكَذَّبُوهُمَا فَعَزَّزْنَا بِثَالِثٍ أي فَقَوَّيْنَا بِثَالِثٍ فَأَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْهِمُ اثْنَيْنِ, we sent, irsal. Here many say that it was not a prophet in the sense of a messenger, but it was the deputy of a prophet. Okay, that is lughawi kalam and academics. In verse number 52, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنَادَيْنَاهُ مِنْ جَانِبِ الطُّورِ الْأَيْمَنِ وَقَرَّبْنَاهُ نَجِيًّا. We called him from the right side of Mount Tur to formally declare him as a messenger when he was returning to Egypt from Midian. وَقَرَّبْنَاهُ نَجِيًّا, and we brought him close in communication, spoke directly to him. So verse 52, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights some of the salient occurrences with Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. وَنَادَيْنَاهُ, we called out to him. This is of course the tale and the story when Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam was returning from Egypt, from Misr, and he was going from Midian, and he was going back to Egypt. And at that point, his wife was with him, as referenced in Surah Taha Kaleem, another name of this chapter, إِذْ قَالَ لِأَهْلِهِ, when he said to his spouse, and that was of course the daughter of Shu'ayb alayhi salatu wasalam, إِنِّي آنَسْتُ نَارَ أَيْ أَبْصَرْتُ نَارَ, I have seen a flame, لَعَلِّي آتِيكُم مِّنْهَا بِقَبَسْ, perhaps I will bring you a live ember from there, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَسْطَلُونَ, so that you can warm yourself up. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَسْطَلُونَ indicates to us that it was a cold night. And there's also a subtle deduction from here, how a Nabi took care. Of course, at that stage, though he was not a Nabi, but you know, it was on the verge of his nubuwwat. Musa se poocho den khuda ki lene gaye aag mil gayi nubuwwat. Ask Musa about the kindness of Allah. He went to fetch a flame, and of course, he was crowned with prophethood. How a Nabi took care of the needs of his spouse, of his wife. She was close to confinement. She was on the family way. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَسْطَلُونَ, let me get a live ember and bring it to you here so that you can warm yourself up. You can warm yourself up. I read the other day about Sa'id rahimahullah, that on a particular cold night, he spent the whole night just weeping. So in the morning, people asked him, مَا أَبْكَاكَ اللَّيْلَ, what made you cry? He said, تَفَكَّرْتُ فِي فُقَرَاءِ أُمَّةِ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِي هَذِهِ اللَّيْلَةِ الْبَارِدَةِ فَبَكَيْتُ رِقَّةً لَهُمْ. On this rather cold night, I thought about the ummah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and I cried out of sympathy and empathy. Recently, I visited the camps of Syrian refugees, and it gives me a shiver in my back, my brother and my sister, while we tuck up in a very warm bed with lovely linen and lovely duvet, and we have all the amenities at our disposal. I visited a camp in which five people are sleeping. The camp does not satisfy the requirements of satr, leave alone the requirements of warmness. It doesn't even conceal you. كُلُّ مَا سَتَرَكَ مِنْ جِهَاتِكَ الْأَرْبَعْ فَهُوَ جِدَارٌ, that which conceals you from all four directions, at least you can say it's a wall, it gives you some sense of privacy. Well, this tent doesn't even provide that. And believe it or not, the entire family is sleeping just on the bare floor, while the weather is -8 and there are heaps of snow outside. La ilaha illallah, may Allah forgive us, How would this play out on the day of Qiyamah? Scary indeed. Abu Khaythama radiallahu anhu, okay, the incident is long and we will digress. So coming back to the point, I was saying that Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wassalam was returning, he seen the flame and he took care, he said, let me get a live ember and give it to my wife and to warm them up, which is an indication of it was being cold, and care for his spouse. وَنَادَيْنَاهُ, and we called unto him, مِنْ جَانِبِ الطُّورِ الْأَيْمَنِ, from the right side of Mount Tur. Of course, the scholars, you know what, unanimously agree here, right side meaning the right side of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wassalam. Because in another verse, Allah says, وَمَا كُنْتَ بِجَانِبِ الْغَرْبِيِّ إِذْ قَضَيْنَا إِلَى مُوسَى الْأَمْرَ وَمَا كُنْتَ مِنَ الشَّاهِدِينَ, and you were not on the western side of Mount Tur. So the right side means the angle. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam is coming from Midian, he's going to Egypt, and Mount Tur occurs to be on his right side. نَادَيْنَاهُ, we called out to him, مِنْ جَانِبِ الطُّورِ الْأَيْمَنِ وَقَرَّبْنَاهُ نَجِيَّا, and we brought him close, Let's understand this here, verse 52. Najiyya, and we spoke to him privately, discreetly. What is meant by that? The first thing is we need to know is that Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam enjoyed the privilege of being known as Kaleemullah, the one who spoke to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قَرَّبْنَاهُ نَجِيَّ We brought him close, meaning in this communication and this wahi, there was nobody else. There was nobody else. فَاسْتَمِعْ لِمَا يُوحَى Listen, O Nuh, listen, O Musa. And the ulama have written that when that revelation came to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, he literally heard it with every limb of his body. I like what is recorded in Madarik al-Tanzil Allama Nasafi. It's academic language, but I'll try and simplify it. And that's the beauty and the richness of the Quran, of course. So, قَرَّبْنَاهُ نَجِيَّ أَي مَكَانَةً وَمَنْزِلَةً لَا مَكَانًا وَمَنْزِلًا لا إله إلا الله مكانة ومنزلة We brought him close, meaning in a position and in a status, and not in a literal proximity, not in literal proximity, but rather he was close, meaning close in his station, in his position. Makanatan wa manzilatan, la makanan wa manzila. And why do we say this here? Because it is our aqeedah and our belief that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from a place and a location. So wherever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned those verses, we say it as befits the majesty of Allah. غُلَّتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَغُلَّتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَلُعِنُوا بِمَا قَالُوا بَلْ يَدَاهُ مَبْسُوطَتَانِ Those who accused Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ of being a miser. Allah said, woe be to them. May their hearts be tied up. Allah's hands are open. Allah's hands are open. Now we do not visualize hands. This is my hand. This is a human hand. What is meant by the hand of Allah? Only Allah knows. Only Allah knows. And hence the poet said, وَلَهُ يَدَانِ كَمَا يَقُولُ إِلَهُنَا وَيَمِينُهُ جَلَّتْ عَنِ الْأَيْمَانِ As Allah says, for him is a hand as befits his majesty. So we do not visualize an organ or a limb for Allah in any way whatsoever. We need to understand this very clearly. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ Those that are by their Lord, meaning the malaika, again, the same thing written in the tafsir, مَنْزِلَةً وَمَكَانَةً In station, in position, and not in location and physical proximity. And that takes me into this very amazing academic discussion. It might be a bit intriguing and a bit challenging. I'm sure the scholars will appreciate it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَا وَلَهُ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى For Allah is the greatest example. For Allah is the greatest example. So in Bayan al-Quran, it is written under this ayah, دَلَّ عَلَى جَوَازِ التَّمْثِيلِ لَهُ تَعَالَى بِشَرْطِ أَلَّا يَكُونَ مُخَالِفًا لِشَأْنِهِ The ayah reveals to us that it is permissible to give an example for Allah, provided it does not contradict the maqam and the status and the position of the Almighty. And yet in another verse of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَا تَضْرِبُوا لِلَّهِ الْأَمْثَالِ Do not give an example for Allah. Do not give an example for Allah. So how do we reconcile between this here? وَالْمَثَلْ بِفَتْحَتَيْنِ بِمَعْنَى الْمِثَالِ غَيْرُ الْمِثْلِ فَإِنَّ الْأَوَّلْ مَعْنَاهُ الْمُشَارِكُ فِي ظَاهِرِ الْوَصْفِ وَلَوْ كَانَ بَيْنَ حَقِيقِي الْوَصْفَيْنِ بَوْنًا بَعِيدًا وَهُوَ جَائِزٌ عَقْلًا وَوَارِدٌ نَقْلًا وَالثَّانِي الْمُشَارِكُ فِي النَّوْعِ تَعَالَى اللَّهُ عَنْ ذَلِكَ عُلُوًّا كَبِيرًا وَهُوَ بَاطِلٌ عَقْلًا وَمَنْفِيٌّ نَقْلًا لِقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ Very academic, but just too beautiful to get the context correctly. So Allah has given an example in the Quran for Himself. مَثَلُ نُورِهِ The example of the light of Allah. مَثَلْ بِفَتْحَتَيْنِ For those lovers of Arabic, بِفَتْحَتَيْنِ With two fathas. بِمَعْنَى الْمِثَالِ Which means an example. وَالْمَثَلْ بِفَتْحَتَيْنِ غَيْرَ الْمِثْلِ So one is مَثَلْ Two fathas on mim and tha, and one is مِثْلِ That is different. The first one is correct. You can say a mithal, an example for Allah. But you don't say a mithal for Allah. And let me simplify it. فَإِنَّ الْأَوَّلْ مَعْنَاهُ الْمُشَارِكُ فِي ظَاهِرِ الْوَصْفِ The first one, mithal, in the meaning of mithal, means similar to similar in the quality, similar in the quality, although the difference would be significant. By way of example, Allah is kind and Allah is the most kind. So you can say a human is kind, that's fine. That does not go against the status of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَهُوَ جَائِزٌ عَقْلًا وَوَارِدٌ نَقْلًا. Logically, it's correct. And even in the text, we can cite so many examples. So Allah Ta'ala is merciful. You can say a human is kind, he's merciful. Of course, وَلَوْ كَانَ بَيْنَ حَقِيقِي الْوَصْفَوْنِ وَوَصْفَيْنِ بَوْنًا بَعِيدًا وَهُوَ جَائِزٌ. Between the kindness of Allah and the kindness of human, the disparity and the discrepancy is too much. Allah is the most kind of anyone that can show kindness, but that doesn't mean you cannot refer to a human as kind. Allah is the most generous, but that doesn't mean you cannot refer to a human as generous. وَالثَّانِي الْمِثَلِ. While the latter refers to mithal, أي المشارك في النوع, where you're saying same in the type. Someone is same like Allah. No, never, never. Right? وَهُوَ بَاطِلٌ عَقْلًا. Even logically, you know that is incorrect. وَمَنْفِيٌ نَقْلًا. And it's been refuted. Why? Because it's clear in the Quran, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ. There is nothing like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. Nobody is equal to Allah. أَتَقُولُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Do you utter with regards to the being of the Almighty that which you don't know? So under this ayah in Bayan al-Quran, it is written, فِيهِ إِنْكَارٌ عَلَى الْكَلَامِ فِي الذَّاتِ الْإِلَهِ وَالصِّفَاتِ الْإِلَهِيَّةِ بِالتَّخْمِينَاتِ وَالْمُجَازَفَاتِ إِسْتِدْلَالِيَّةً كَانَتْ أَوْ ذَوْقِيَّةً وَبْتُلِيَ بِهَا كَثِيرٌ مِمَّنْ يُنْسَبُ إِلَى الْعِلْمِ وَالتَّصَوُّفُ إِلَى اللَّهِ الْمُشْتَكَى. If you're into Arabic and you appreciate this will just blow you away. It's so deep. It's so amazing. And this is just some of the secrets of the speech of the Almighty, but only Allah knows it in its absolute form. فِيهِ إِنْكَارْ عَلَى الْكَلَامِ فِي الذَّاتِ الْإِلَهِيَّ وَالصِّفَاتِ الْإِلَهِيَّ. They don't just give your own analogies. Just don't give your own examples. Just through, assumption or notion, or this is the way I understand it. إِسْتِدْلَالِيَّةً كَانَتْ أَوْ ذَوْقِيَّةً وَبْتُلِيَ بِهَا كَثِيرٌ مِّمَّنْ يُنْسَبُ إِلَى الْعِلْمِ وَالتَّصَوُّفِ. And often many so-called scholars also err in this regard. Okay, we leave it on that note. وَنَادَيْنَاهُ مِنْ جَانِبِ الطُّورِ الْأَيْمَنِ وَقَرَّبْنَاهُ نَجِيًّا. It became a bit academic, but that's the beauty of the Quran. And you can see what the scholars have written. So Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was called up on the right side of Mount Tur, which was right for him. And he was privileged with that close communication with the Almighty. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with his closeness. Inna rahmati qareebun min al-muhsineen. The special mercy of Allah descends upon those who perform righteous deeds. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen.